I just want to remind you and read you those most likely familiar words from Luke 2 as we just think about Jesus coming. Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were angels living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The angels returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The birth of Jesus took place at a difficult time, in unfamiliar surroundings where he was born. However, let me just remind you again that every detail was chosen by God with purpose. It wasn't just a random set of events. It wasn't just something they couldn't avoid. God knew and planned every detail. The challenging circumstances, the inconvenient moments for them, the unexpected events that took place, lack of resources. And I wonder, you know, perhaps we need to think about our lives differently at times when we face those challenging circumstances, as we all do from time to time. When we have those inconvenient moments in our lives that come about, when we just have those unexpected times, when we find ourselves in times of lack, maybe. God, what are you saying in this? What is it? What are you doing in my life? What's going on? Rather than thinking, "I don't like this, I need to get out of it." God, just to say, "God, what are you saying? What are you doing?" So it all happened in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. A pretty insignificant place to be. Listen to the way the prophet Micah describes Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 says this, "But to you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." The question I ask myself and ask each one of us, why do we put so much emphasis on things like, you know, size and place, significance of being well known or having high profile? Because it's kind of not the way that God looks at things so often. In fact, if you look back through history, you will find that God has often chosen the small and insignificant in the eyes of the world. You go back to Deuteronomy 7, you have recorded what God said to Moses, and he shared with the people. He said this, The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors. He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. And that was true of the Jewish nation and continues to be true of the Jewish nation. God didn't just pick up a big, all together a group of people, those who were achieving a great deal. He picks on this little group of people. And I love that. I think we need to apply it to ourselves. So often we might think of ourselves as a small group. And we are, but we're precious. God loves us, each one of us. He loves us. He's picked us out. He's handpicked. He's chosen us. We need to know that we're loved by God, each and every one of us. Don't ever lose sight of that. You're loved by God. He loves you. He thought about you. He knew you. He loved you. He's redeemed us. He's brought us out of the place that we were in. He's brought us out of slavery, out of the place when we were slaves to sin. Each one of us was in that place of slavery. He's brought us out of that. He's brought us out of the world system, as Pharaoh represents. He's brought us out of that, into his kingdom, into that place of safety. And we come to God, and here's the God who is God alone as we've been worshipping him. Here's the God who is faithful in every way. He's faithful to his word. Here's a God who is a God who has created covenants. He keeps covenants. He sticks with us. He doesn't let us go. He's always there for us. We can trust him. We can rely on him. We see those occasions back through history as we look through scripture. We can see it. Do you remember about Gideon there in Judges 7? Gideon was there. He thought he was a nobody. He was hiding. He wasn't very impressive. He was from a small clan. But God took him and he put him in charge of the army that was going to defeat the Midianites. And he thought he had a pretty small army of 32,000-ish, I think it was. But God said, no, too many. And he whittled it down, and he whittled it down until they had 300 men. That was the army. And then it says, the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that left, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. And if you know about it, the Midianites had a huge army. It was just a vast army of people. And they've been responsible for years of oppression of the Israelites. So much so they were impoverished, they were just in fear of them all the time. And try as they may, they couldn't break free. But now God was saying, we're going to do it just with this 300, this small group, this crazy little group. And he used them there with that little group and with the most unlikely of weapons. You remember that the weapons that they had flaming torches, and they had clay jars they put them in, and they had a trumpet. Ruth would be good at that one, wouldn't she? But they'd be there. That was their weapons. And their battle cry was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood their ground. They didn't even go forward into the battle. They just stood in their ground. And God caused the enemy to turn and fight one another and destroy one another. It was all done. He did it with this little group. God is the God of the impossible. He just loves to work with the few, with the feeble, and so on. Jesus grew up in Nazareth. And there in John, as he starts introducing us to Jesus in the gospel, the first of the disciples started gathering around Jesus. And there in verse 45 of John 1, Philip went off and he found Nathanael. And he said to him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What was his reply? Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. come and see. That tells you what Nathaniel thought about Nazareth. Perhaps it's a bit like, you know, certain housing estates or certain city areas today. Can anything good come out of that place? God loves to surprise and astound. Maybe those very places that we could write off and be the places that God is going to come and to change things around. It was God's heart and his idea that he chose for Jesus to be brought up and live in Nazareth and to be forever known as Jesus of Nazareth. Still talk about Jesus of Nazareth. This little backwater, this place that was insignificant, this place that was not wanted. And then Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, who are always vying for position and prominence, he says this in 1 Corinthians 1, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." Our boast is in him, isn't it? You know, we don't have to just look to our own ability, but we look and see what God has taken and changed us and uses us in our weakness. So often, you know, the enemy will try and say, "Look at you, who do you think you are? What do you think you've got?" Well, that's your boast. Oh, God loves the weak. God loves the lowly. God loves those who the world doesn't rate much. They're the ones he loves. They're the ones he uses. And then Bethlehem itself was known as the house of bread. It was the place of God's provision. And then years later, when Jesus was ministering, when he was there in his ministry in John 6, he declares this, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of them, all those who have been given to me, but I will raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." I just love that. In Bethlehem, this is the place we say, "Come, come and feast upon me. Come and feast upon all that I have. Come and feast on my word. Come and feast on my life. Come and drink of me. Come and be with me." And I love all that is there. And this promise, this invitation is for all. It's for each and every person. Because that is what we heard the angel declaring to the shepherds who are also on the fringes, who are also on the outside. He says, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This is for all people, not for the select few, not for those who seem to be that in that right place, that those who kind of we think might be interested. It's for all people. "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is the one who is over all. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Anointed One. He is the Deliverer. He is the Saviour." And this message is for today. And today and every day. It's not for the future. It's not for some other occasion. It is for now. It is, as the angels declared, good news of great joy. We need to make sure that our message is the message of good news. It's not a finger pointing, you need to do better kind of message. It is a message of good news to those who are unable to change themselves, and which is each of us really. He brings this good news to the most vital need of every single person. We need a saviour. We might not think we do, but we all need a saviour. We need the one who Jesus is, the one who's come to save us from our sins. And we thank God that he has provided the perfect saviour for us. You know, sin isn't a popular word these days, is it? It's, you know, we use all kinds of other words that make it seem more acceptable, but it is everything that separates us from the love of God. And I just love it, you know, today, this message is for today. It's always been the message for today, not to be put off to another day, not for another season, not for another time. You know, sometimes, yes, we're longing to see God pouring out his Spirit afresh, but today, even while we're here, even in a day like today, God wants to come and bring good news, the message of good news to all. The message was given to the shepherds there, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. You know, a sign points to something, but you still have to follow where the sign is pointing. If the shepherd said, well, that was amazing, but let's get back to sleep, you know. We've got an early start in the morning. Let's just, you know, let's just see what happens in the next few days. But the shepherds didn't. They responded. They'd received, they'd heard the word, they'd had the sign. This was a sign. You need to go and discover it for yourself. And that's what they did. And they shared what they had seen, and they shared it with others. They told everybody, interested or not, what they've seen, what had taken place. We have to respond to those moments, those things, those signs, those pointers, those invitations that Jesus brings. And I love this, that suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. We need peace, don't we? We need the peace, a peace that is only to be found in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Peace has to be found in a resting place in Jesus. And we receive that peace as we respond to his unmerited, undeserved favour. And it's not simply by focusing on baby Jesus in the manger, but it's all that he would lead to. That was hinted at in the songs we sang earlier, wasn't it? It's all that led to, the life that he lived, the death that he died, the resurrection that took place. He is the crucified and exalted one, and not simply the baby in the manger. So when the angels had left them and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Now, as I was thinking about that, the shepherd's response was one of at least four key responses that we see when you look through the Christmas story. When the shepherds heard this news from the angels, they welcomed it, they responded it, they went to see for themselves and shared about it. When the wise men, they worked out what was happening, they saw the star, there was... And they'd read all about what was going to happen. There was going to be this time when a king was going to be born. And the wise men, what did they do? They left everything behind. They went to where the star was leading. It was a challenging journey for them. It was a. Some people would have thought they'd utterly lost the plot. What on earth do you think you're doing? Going, travelling all this way to what? Anything? Nothing? Just because of the star, you sure? But they went. And they went... They were determined, they went with a heart to worship. We have to go and worship. And it drew them. It took them away from the comfort of home and family and took them away into another place because they had a heart to worship and they prepared themselves for worship. They were determined that whatever happened, they were going to worship. But then we have the religious leaders there, particularly when they arrived in Jerusalem and they wanted fresh directions. And all the religious leaders, they could quote it all. They knew, you know, yes, we know what the scriptures say. But they didn't go. And Herod, well, he had another agenda altogether. And In fact, he was going to leave no stone unturned and try and have Jesus killed before he could actually fulfill his life's mission. And I think they are still the responses that people can make today, and maybe we kind of need to check out where we fit into those responses. Because we can either respond like those shepherds, that we can act on what God says to us. We can share the good news with those around us. We can be like the wise men, that we are those who have just a heart to worship, and I know you have a heart to worship. We have a heart to worship. And to do that, sometimes we have to travel physically or travel out of our comfort zone, travel out of that place, because we want to worship. And we want to do whatever that costs, whatever that means for us, we're going to do that. But it's also possible to just simply enter into endless debates. We can talk about all the different aspects of it. And we can talk about that, and we can, you know, it's not all about studying, it's not all about getting information and knowledge. If that's your goal, then you've missed the point. You remember how Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think they point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to get life." No greater tragedy can be that we kind of think we know all the stuff but know nothing, in the sense that we don't know the person. Or we can even be like Herod, and we can violently oppose what is being said to us. Do whatever it takes to remove the threat from our position. Sometimes when people act kind of violently, aggressively, that they're simply wanting to remove anything that might make them change, threaten the status quo. And God can change all that, of course. So the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." We have the greatest story, we have the greatest good news that the world will ever hear, that is to be found in Jesus. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's just share this good news, not just over the next few days as we lead to Christmas, but let's continue to be those who share this good news with those around and about us. It is a news that unites heaven and earth. It brings heaven down. It connects that place. It brings glory to God, and it brings peace on earth as we share this good news. As that carol puts it so well, "O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." That is where it all leads, eternal worship of him. So Father, we just thank you for your wonderful plan of redemption in Jesus. We thank you for this time when we can be reminded of Jesus coming. And Lord, we know that it didn't end with your birth, but it continued on through your life and your death and your resurrection and your conquering of sin and death and hell, that can reunite us into that intimate relationship with you. And Lord, yet it is astounding that you, Almighty God, Creator of all things, chose to take on humanity, take on human flesh, to become a vulnerable child, to come, because your love for us was so great that you came to be amongst us. You came to fulfill that mission. You came to fulfill that plan of redemption, that we might know you. Lord, help us to have that wonder, a fresh wonder, that takes us beyond the glitter and tinsel and all those other things, enjoyable though they may be, that would take us in fresh wonder of your goodness and your love, that you are and always will be Emmanuel, God with us. You will always be the one who saved from our sins. You're the one who restores us into that wonderful relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our lives, and we long to see those around us, those in our families, those amongst our friends and in our communities. We long to see them come into that same life-changing encounter with you. Or would you just come and shine heaven's light, open the heavens afresh and come and pour out once more on the people that we might see your kingdom come. May we be good news today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.